Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Right Time. My name is Bomani Jones. Thanks for listening on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate it. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars, yelling, give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater. This is the time of week where we do our interviews. Hey, man, if you're hating out here, I got the homie from now. We was talking about this. It's way back now. The new album out, Crit is here. Big Crit in the house. What's going on, man?
Kicking him, bro. You know, we family, man. I'm here.
Dude, I'm chilling. You came in here with the legal name on the visitor tag.
Yeah. You know, the homie out in the front with him in there. You can't get through. You know what I'm saying?
Dude, man, so you're in New York doing press for Crit is here.
Yeah.
How you feel about this,
bro? It's amazing. It's a blessing. The positivity has been ridiculous. It's almost like I'm a new artist all over again. And then to be able to do it independent, this stroke through BMG, to be able to be on Times Square, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would have never imagined back in the day, and I thought, well, you know, you get a label, you get Times Square, when your album come out, to be independent, and we were able to make that happen. It's a blessing, man, and the shows and the support and just years of putting in that quality music, man, it's paying off.
Now, to being independent, like I remember last year, I think it may have been 2 years ago, when you were doing the rounds, you talked to Sway, and he was like, all right, but how independent are you? And the way you put it was, if you called me to do a feature, I ain't got to ask nobody.
I'm clearing it. It's me. I got you.
So for you, it's like, what was the biggest difficulty of being on a label versus what you're doing now?
I mean, you go in a room and you play your album for a group, like just a group of people, and they might be working. Maybe they had a bad day, or maybe they just, they might not really care about what you got going on. You're playing this full-blown album, and it's like, are they really invested in the music? You spent your time, and then they might pick it apart, like, we think that might be the single, whatever. And then if they don't really like the body of music, then it's like, all right, well, I don't know if I'm going to get the support I need necessarily. Now it's like, man, this is the album I'm going to put out. We believe in this. This is the cover we're going to do. This is the rollout plan, and we just do it. It ain't waiting on nobody. It's like we whatever rules we want, we make the rules up now, and we execute the way we want to execute, and it shows the freedom for me as an artist. Is like there's no deadline, there's no timeline. I'm just, man, I'm putting out an album now. Here, you know what I'm saying? It's one of them situations, and the music reflects that.
Yeah, I felt like with Def Jam, it seemed like it hit you right away because they delayed the first record, right?
It was a lot, man. Like, what, the single came out September 2011. Album didn't come out until June 2012. That's a long time to keep telling people, yeah, the album coming out. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know how we keep rolling this out. Like, and I ain't got no singles in between, and I dropped the mixtape, which is for Forever and a Day, in the midst of having my album being rolled out. And it was just a lot, man, just trying to get support and get the songs moving the way they would. LeBron literally was playing I Got This as they won the championship at the end, like, and I'm like, oh man, this is my single, like, we should do a remix, boom, boom, boom. And it just like they dropped the ball. It was like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, moving on. And so I mean, just having those encounters. But it was a good thing, because now I know with Multi, if I sign an artist, how to kind of treat the marketing aspect, or how to treat the budget with them, or how to treat the song or the song structure. When they like, man, this is the song I believe in. Well, we got to figure out a way to make it work, even if it's not radio to a certain degree, or if it's not a mainstream hit. Like, if you believe in that, man, we're just going to figure out a way to make it where everybody loves it.
Do you think they understood what exactly it was that you were trying to do? Because I felt like in terms of concept, you were going for kind of a long play with this, right? Like,
definitely.
I got a kind of classic oriented sound, and that this is something, I'm going to build a bass, and this bass will stay with me for a minute. Yeah. But I always wonder when guys have that idea, if the label gets it, because those guys at the label, you don't get promoted off of that. You get promoted off of
that,
the big score.
That record. Yeah, you know, I don't think so. I mean, it was hard to see, because a lot of people, especially in the South, people didn't necessarily feel comfortable at the time putting their credit card information in or subscribing, right? Mm-hmm. So they were like, man, what a CD? You know, what a vinyl record? They actually buying the tangible items. And so I think when streaming happened, then the label just kind of let me go. It's like, all right, bet. You all right, we don't think it's going to transform over to streaming. They were wrong, because cars now come with no CD players.
Right.
You know, it's hard to get a CD. So a lot of those people, they had to adjust to how music is being put out now. And so all those supporters still came right along. And so you see it with the numbers. You see it with the ticket sales that we do when we go on tour. Like, no, they were always there the entire time. It's just you couldn't see them with my imprint that's on IG or Twitter, because the world is way bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? But they didn't, you know, it is what it is. I got lucky, though.
Yeah. But I do feel like since the stuff went independent, like, there's an energy I hear that's kind of back to it. Because, like, I told Wally that after the Def Jam album came out, my first thought was, like, when Crit was Here came out, I was like, yo, I hear this dude, like, mm-hmm. I know this dude, I very much relate to this dude. And then R4 was a very similar place where it's like, yo, I'm getting this guy. I felt like on the album, I didn't get as much you. Like, I think the thing that I felt like mm-hmm. was missing, like, I was like, Dag, whatever happened to that chick he was talking about in the first one and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah, you know?
Because I would, like, when I hear something, I'd be like, yo, like, that was the one that, like, hit mm-hmm. me in the chest. And I felt like they weren't giving us, or we weren't getting as much of the person that mm-hmm. we were getting before. And it seems now when I hear this new stuff, especially this one, and if Forever's a Mighty Long Time, I'm like, nah, there he is. Yeah, like, all of him is there.
I would say, man, a lot of that was because you get the deal and you start doing the runs, right? Promo runs and all that. And you figure out, like, man, how many people did not really resonate with me being from Mississippi or being from the South. And you getting to hear all the opinions of where I was from. And so instead of me, like, now it's like, I'm not bitter about it. Some people just ain't been to Mississippi. It is what it is. But back then I was like, man, oh man, we, you know, how you gonna ask me that question? And I'm like, why wouldn't I sound intelligent? Yo, you think your country people's, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting upset. And so I think I started to put that in my music along with the idea that I had to prove myself. It's like this competitive nature I had. And so I go back and listen to Live from the Underground and I'm like, man, I sound angry. Like, I sound frustrated. Like, certain records I probably could have did more to, but it was like, all right, bet, bro, we just got the sample cleared. You gotta finish this verse, boom, 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 and we gotta ship this out. And it wasn't love in the food like it needed to be. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I cook some good food, but it wasn't no love in it. It was more anger, more frustration. And then I got to Catalactica, and that's when I kind of started to find my groove. And then Forever's a Mighty Long Time is just a whole nother thing.
Yeah. Like, I remember.
That's freedom.
Cause I remember. Freedom. I remember I went to the Catalactica show. Yeah. And I was talking to Wally about it. I was like, oh, this is different. Right? like the energy felt different. Like, there was like a passion coming out mm-hmm. you that I felt like before I hadn't quite seen. Yeah.
I mean, when I saw the light at the end of the tunnel, I realized that, you know, things were changing. We stopped really caring what the label thought about us. And we were like, I did 12 for 12. And I started preparing for them to let me go. And it was like, I was gonna be comfortable with it. Like, we was getting ready for it because I knew that I didn't belong there. Just in general as an artist, man. Once we got off the label, so crazy that people were like, man, I didn't even know you signed to Def Jam.
Right.
And now you been signed to Def Jam since 2010. I'm like, yo. You know, but I mean, it's just showed that Multi is a brand and we've been promoting it underneath it all. And I would tell any artist, if you sign to a label, man, definitely promote your brand. Cause once that label isn't around, or if you decide to leave, you want to be able to leave with something that's completely yours.
So, for, like, building your own, what's been the most difficult part of building your own?
Man, ain't no days off for real. You know what I'm saying?
But you weren't taking no days off before, though,
right? I wasn't, but now, I mean, my knees are a little different now. I got older, but mine, hold on, man. You know, I look young, but, you know, everybody doing this old face challenge on IG and stuff. Like, man, I'm going to look like an old man. But it's one of those situations where I know that I got to invest everything in my company, right? And, I mean, if I want to get this, this is, like, if I... The new crib, but boom, boom, boom. It's like, it's not as important as making sure that this album comes out. And I keep building this brand. And we even built a stronger team. And with that means that it's more responsibilities to go across the board. So now it's like looking for artists. And when I say artists, I mean any kind of creative, because Multi is a multimedia company. It's not just music. You could be a muralist. You could be a dance crew. You could, you know, be a videographer. Like, if your stuff is crazy, I'm rocking with you. And if you want a home or somewhere that you can build and grow with other people, that's what we're trying to do.
Because it seems like I used to do, and for me it was a trip. I think you probably felt the same way. Like, before I started working here, it was basically like an independent type thing. Mm-hmm. Like, I had relationships with people and I'd drop in, but it was mine. It don't always feel the same once you start getting in and mm-hmm. you're doing it for somebody else, right? Yeah. Even if it feels good, because they paying me more than I could pay myself, right? But it does feel different when you do that. So, like, how liberating was it for you after that was done? And you, like, now you got your hands back in this, like you did in, like, 2007, 2008.
Man, you just know that when the project or the music or the deals go through, you know that it wasn't like an emotional decision, right? It's great business happening. You were comfortable with it. You didn't lose a lot of sleep over it. You weren't calling people like, man, what does this email mean? Or what did they say, man? Are they going to give us the budget? It's none of that. It's like, all right, man, we know what this is. We know how to work this. This is what we're going to get. This is what we're asking for. You don't like it? We're moving on, you know?
Right.
And it's a partnership now. Like, big critics or artists will never sign just as an artist to any label. You have to partner with my company. And then now I got this barrier that protects me as an artist, where it's like, I'm still going to do what I want to do creatively. If you don't like it, take it up one more time. You know?
Right.
Like, and that's us, my team. Shout out to Dutch. Shout out to Steve-O. And because we know what we're doing, man, like the covers, the art, the music, the rollouts have always been us. And so we ain't been wrong yet. So we still on it.
So like when you sign with Def Jam, in your best case scenario in your mind, mm-hmm. like how do you envision it going?
So the crazy thing, when I signed to Def Jam, L.A. Reid was there.
Right.
And it was like staffers, people that he also knew that were excited that I was coming, that they were aware of me. 2 weeks after I signed, L.A. Reid was gone. And there's a lot of staff people. So I ended up, you know, having to be I was in the mix of like a transitional stage in Def Jam with who the president was, new people, and they might not have been aware of my music or not as excited. I mean, the only thing I do look at it, the upside of this is I'm thankful that LA re-signed me at the time, right? Because it still gave me an opportunity to put my music out to the masses, and I learned a valuable lesson that would make me a better businessman and has made me a better businessman and how to move amongst this industry as an independent. So I don't take anything away from that. But it's one of those situations. The way I see it, it was like, man, I was supposed to be late night TV show all the time. I was supposed to be on the front of every cover of magazine. Once my album sold and I was number one hip hop, I should have been a priority at the label as far as how do we make this country music, country rap tune vibe, Mississippi. Let's blow this out the water and shine a light, because this is rare. We haven't seen this before. This doesn't sound like anything. And my willingness to tour, like touring, merchandising, all that, I had a brand. If they would have paid attention, they would have been able to like capitalize on that and then bring it to the forefront more, because we sold, once again, hard ticket sales. It just wasn't me in the club.
Right.
And that's a totally different market, totally different game, where you can get people in a space and do an hour and a half show, and it's top to bottom, old school song to the new records.
And the game, I feel like, kind of changed, right? Like, yeah. The sound of the game kind of changed as it was that you rose. Like, what was coming out of the South was starting to sound a little different than it was before.
Bounce was different. Yeah,
Well, it's kind of like that Bubba Sparks Deliverance album that I love, and it came out at the wrong time, right? Like, everybody else was crunk, and then he dropped this, like,
guitar, acoustic,
right.
Timbaland killing it. It was amazing,
You know, you got three organized noise joints that are fire, and it was on the Madden soundtrack, but it was just kind of the wrong time, and I'd wondered about bit like when 2012 comes, is now the sound is moving more toward kind of the like the Machine kind of 3-6 Mafia sound that kind of dominates now, and I always feel like you were leaning more a little toward the Pimp C sound that was a bit more instrumentally based.
Yeah,
and so it just seemed like all that stuff coming together at once.
Well,
right,
you're a genius with this. Check you out. I should have been consulting with you.
I'm trying to keep up, man.
Back in the day, I should have consulted with you, because that would have made a lot. You like, oh, I'm like, oh, it's happening. All right, let me try. I mean, but if you work on an album for 2 years, right? So you're creating these records and you have these songs and you believe in this song. Music is, in your mind, it's always supposed to be timeless. So it doesn't matter what's happening. If it's jamming, if it makes sense, if it's quality, it's going to work. But you do have a run of social topics, right? So you might be rapping about one thing in the moment. It's not really relevant by the time your album comes out.
Right.
So what I do now is try to be very aware of the time sensitive things and try to make my music to a place where you can't really put a cap on it. Like, you really don't know what time period this came out. If I do talk about something as far as a social topic, I don't really talk about the time or the names. I make it more of a worldly, roundly thing now. So you say, like, all right, when you turn 21, you might not have been rocking with it. Now you're 30, it's like, all right, now I get what he's saying.
Right.
Back when Live and Underground came out, no, I was very much like, oh, this is going on right now.
Right. 2011, dog.
And the album come out 2012. It was like, oh man, bro, what, damn, this is an old song.
Right.
Like, but again, man, I was able to produce my very first album all the way through on a major label. I was able to actually drop a major label album, man. And I remember when I was as a kid, that's really all I wanted to do is be signed and drop an album. And I accomplished that dream. But then that dream was small, like that was short lived. Like, now we got to do more work. And upon realizing that, I saw what the game, what it was, and I learned a lot. And yeah, now it's all about that. R.I.P. the homie Nip, the marathon. Like, we running, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, for people who are kind of don't know this, some of y'all go back with me for a long time. I came across Crit in 2010. Homie Wally Sparks. Yeah. We got to say, we got to say, dude, a comment. I remember the first time I heard Crit was here. I was like, yo, I got to figure this out. Like you may even remember this. I was doing a sports show and I was like, hey, we're going to record an interview with this dude. We ain't even going to put it on the radio. We just going to podcast this thing out because I got to figure out like what is going on here. And I remember how excited you sounded about all of it at that time because it just all like it was fresh and new to you. And for me, I was in a similar place in my career and where we were going. Like, we got the same birthday. Like, it's all this, like, weird overlap stuff, right? And, like, I was in the same place. And so for the longest, I've looked at what's going on with you with, like, a personal association. Like, it's not just rooting for you. It's like, I know exactly what's going on here. Like, you got your own thing here, and you got this figured out, and you kind of waiting for other people to like, you know, to get a hold of it. And I remember, like, back in the day when I first started writing, I finally got a gig, and I was so excited, and they let me go after a year. And it was, like, the most crushing thing in the world because I thought I made it.
Yeah.
And then you find out that like what you thought was making it is a much longer run than you ever thought that it was.
Yeah. Nah, to the maximum, man. What they don't tell you is when you sign a deal, that's when the hard work really comes into play because now the investments come, now the opportunities come and you know, it's like, all right, you wake up, it's like, man, I really don't feel like doing that today, but you still end up having to do it. You do it because it's like, all right, bet this is going to help promote the album. It's going to push it forward. Back when I was recording in my grandmother's house, you mentioned the record Something, right? That was just me venting. Like, I just felt like talking about my problems. I had this amazing sample. And I just like, man, I'm gonna flip this, you know, and I'm gonna rap over it. And then people listen to it and they like it. It wasn't so much about, again, a deadline or people, we got to get on this site and we only got this much time or man, like this ain't really the single. Can you change? Like it was just like, man, this is how I feel. And so it's interesting when you make a business out of your passion, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so what you have to do is like, kind of keep yourself around people that understand how passionate you, like it is to love this child. Cause it's the idea. You created it in your room or whatever. And then you just kind of let it go. And then you just watch people judge it, you
figure
know?
It out, right?
Like, yeah. And then you have to kind of come back and like, well, that's not really what I meant for it to be taken as, or that's not kind of how I wanted people to grasp it. And you have to break it down. But I think that's the beauty of being able to create out of thin air. And, so it's the risk and reward of it.
So when you was coming up with this, who was the first person that was like, yo, I rock with this, that made you be like, are you serious? Like, you rock with this?
My grandmother.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, man. Miss Lenny it's funny because she, like her den, you know, how, you know, your grandma's house, especially mine wasn't that big, right?
Right.
So the kitchen is connected to the den, which the den is kind of like the space that everybody kicking it in.
Right.
And it's also, you know, where we eating at and all that.
Yeah. So you said I walked through the front door is going from the den to the kitchen then maybe a couple rooms to the left.
Yes, well, kind of. Yeah. It's like, well, you had the dining room, but nobody ate
right,
it. It was just nice. It was just like, it's all set up like we would go eat. We never ate there, but it's like you walk in the house and the kitchen is there. And then it's like my granddad, old lazy boy chair that was sitting right there. And then it's the TV and there's some couches and a little table and everybody would congregate there. So my grandmother allowed me to put, my speakers and my computer, all my production equipment to the right in this den. And so everybody walk in and I'm making beats. So I flipped Bobby Womack across 110th Street. Just Touchdown is actually the song, one of the first songs I actually like made and people
I did not peep that was the sample. I don't know how I missed that one. Yep.
Yeah. So, I played the beat and my grandmother started jitterbugging to it, which is an old school dance that they do. And she was like, baby, I don't know what this is, but I like that. And I was like, oh, this is out of here. Cause I feel like it didn't matter about generational, like, or hip hop. She felt something from it and it made her dance. And I was like, okay. And I put words to it and I was cussing and she was like, why are you cussing so much? But I still like this. And, that was like my first thumbs up. Like, okay, I'm on to something. And that particular record ended up being like one of those ones for me. It's crazy. Like,
I still, every time I get to his town, like, Just Touchdown. I was like, this one fits. I was like, this one goes. Cause I remember after, cause Crit was here, was all you. And then R4, I think we got David Bann on there.
Yeah. You know,
Son, of course.
Yeah. Big Son was on it as well. Joy was on it.
Yeah.
Shake it, baby. Yeah. Who else? I think that might have been it.
Yeah, but like, yeah. I remember as that happened, it was like, oh, so now we're talking about different people who were jumping on board with this. And one thing you wound up doing down the line, because Bun wound up on the album, on the remix to Country. You executive produced that Bun album that
came out recently. Yeah, co-produced it with Queen, his wife. Yeah.
Yo, see, I did not realize, because I know you were down as musical director. I didn't realize that she was also working on that. So what was that like for you? Because, like, you grew up in the same part of the world that I did, right? Like, anytime I got a text from Bun yesterday about the Rockets, I light up like a Christmas tree whenever that happens, right? So for him to be like, yo, I want you to produce me.
Yo.
How was that?
It was mind-blowing. Like, I mean, because obviously you're in the room, and then Bun is one of those kind of people where it's like you're gonna learn so much when you're in the studio with him, just knowledge wise about life, and then he's gonna write the verse while he's talking to you, which is random. Like, I was like, when did you write this verse? And it's like literally you getting to watch like it's like a dojo master, somebody that the sword is sharpened,
right?
And so he gonna get in there 15 minutes writing, kill it, make one take, kind of individual, and then like, all right, bro, what's next? Let's work. So we had so many records on top of what you already heard, and it's just a passion for music and making great music and then spreading so much knowledge. And I'm in there and I'm just mind blown, right? And I'm just trying to be like calm, and I'm hoping that he likes this next beat that I might play. You know what I'm saying? And it's crazy for him like to be just sit back and be like, man, that's like my that's family. Like, that's my uncle. Like, I can call him. Like, man, I'm going through something emotionally with business, and it's like, how you think I should deal with this? And for him to give me not only what he dealt with, but like sound advice, it's beyond just being a musician or artist or rapper. And it just make me be like, man, you wrote Murder.
Right.
You wrote your verse on Murder. I'm talking to the man that killed, I'm like, oh, it's crazy, man.
And he allowed you to produce him, right?
Yeah. So I was like, I think I like had 6 records on the album. And it's one of those situations where it's kind of hard to sit there and be like, oh, gee, maybe do that take again. Look, I don't know, like, because it's one of those situations where he'd be like, you want me to do what? So he'd ask the question, and now you have the option to repeat yourself or be like, you know what? Don't worry about it. You
know? Nah, I'm sure.
Yeah, so what I had to do is really understand, like, I think he's just asking me to say what I said again. Maybe he's not trying to tell me I'm not doing it, but I'm not going to do that verse again, Chris. But I'm like, but for the sake of the music, if we working on one song and it's going to take a few takes, a few times to get it right, or I'd be like, man, maybe you should attack the verse a little differently. The OG going to do it because he knows it's for the betterment of the song.
Right.
And me, I'm a fan. I'm a supporter for years. So, you know, I'm trying to get the best out of the entire situation. We trying to get the musicians we can get, the singers we can get on the album. I'm just trying to go the distance with what I can. And then he's doing the same thing. And then Queen is right there and she going hard, giving a thumbs up. She's a muse for him. And so it's just amazing to see the dynamic. And I was definitely blessed to be a part.
Well, how wise is it to think you kind of got to be Pimp C, right? Because was the Pimp C role, is the musical director and the producer. Because he always says he had the easiest job in the world. Yeah. I just rap over Pimp C beats.
So the thing is, man, is I could never be that, right? But just honored to be in the presence of somebody that had that kind of connection with his brother, and also was a producer and somebody that pretty much raised me musically as well. And for Bun to understand that I got where they were going or what they were doing musically, and to allow me to be a part of his album, I was honored. And then also shout out to Corey Moe, because the thing about that sound, I've had the opportunity to work with Corey Moe, and Corey Moe gets it and understands. So even for Corey Moe to be like, man, that's jamming. That to me is like, I'm on the right path. I never wanted to go in there and even try to do what Pimp did, right? I could not do that at all. But if anything, just to show how passionate and how much I love their music and try to lend my energy and lend my ear, like, that's all I wanted to do.
Like, what do you think from your sound that you picked up most about Pimp C? Because to me, the thing that's most interesting is, like, he's a producer more than a beat maker, right?
Yes.
Does that make sense? Cause they all jam it, but when you think about it, you always wind up with kind of a feel of the concept of a Pimp C track. Like, it's not just, yo, you hear that bass line. You know what I mean? Like, it don't hit you quite in that way. It's like, yo, you hear that song?
You know that, you know a Pimp C like track when you hear it off the rip. I mean, there's no way around it. The idea that he was singing on these records and the background vocals or the slap of the bass line and I think even the swing, right? Most people don't understand, like, I mean, obviously they were more hardware. They were working on like NPCs and stuff like that. And you could program a swing and kind of give it a groove. I think Pimp had a different perspective of like the groove and how to turn a soul sample into some of the gangster devil, you know what I'm saying? And then sing on it and it sound like the smoothest singing, but it's the most gangster players Pimp you ever heard before.
Right.
And the way they twisted like and made these soul samples sound so gritty, I took from Pimp a lot from that. Like, all right, man, I can flip an Al Green song, but I can make it gritty. I can make it so southern, and I got this cowbell and this snare gonna be right above this clap, and it's gonna give it this sound, and this kick drum is clean. This 808 is like, yeah, man. And again, I have to go back to Corey Moe because he is definitely like the carry on, like he carries on that spirit of production when it comes to Pimp to the maximum. And I learned a lot by even sitting down watching him produce as well.
The swing thing, like this may be nerd music stuff for some people, right? But like I talked to Knife Wonder about this, like his drum swing, it's hard to find drums that swing these days.
It's not going to be directly on the downbeat. It's going to be a little off, which it gives you that, it's like that small hesitation kind of gives you this, it's like this floating feel, right?
Yeah.
When that snare doesn't quite hit where you think it's going to hit, you kind of just fall into it.
A little early, a little late.
Yeah,
like, in fact, I was riding in today, I was listening to Parliament, the Give Up the Funk,
and that's
one where that crash is always on the bow, right? Like, you just waiting on like, what's it coming?
Bow! You get it, yeah. I mean, I think that makes, I mean, if and life isn't just always together, it's not always on the downbeat, right? Mm-hmm. And so if it almost gives programming a live instrumentation feel, which you can, you know, obviously the grid is there and the computer's gonna find that grid, but when you got a real live drummer or a real pianist or you got the organ player going, it's not gonna be perfect. It's not gonna be on time. I think that's what actually brings records to life just a little bit when things are just a tad bit off.
Did you ever, because I wonder for people, especially folks as they come up with all these computers now, right?
Yeah.
Like, how hard is it not to just lean on all the things that this computer can do? Because I think I was talking to Dewan Parker works with Dre about this, where he's like, yo, man, watching these dudes play one note and then he plays his whole chord, or like it does the arpeggio for you, and you're like, but that's not it. You know what I mean?
Man, you can take a sample, you can drop it into pretty much any beat program now, and it'll break the sample apart. Melody, it can find like vocals and stuff like that. They'll give you the key, you know, all that. I mean, and it's great if you've been producing for a long time, it kind of gives you a shortcut from when you just had to be like, sit there and listen. But it will take away from the creative perspective. Cause I feel like when you just like sticks and stones with it, your brain will allow you to create something crazy out of nothing. But when it's so easy to do it, you kind of become a slave to the machine, right? And so now you're, they recommended this kick drum. Oh man, is that key? Cool. Oh, this one button, I got a chord. And before you know it, you made basically what everybody else would have made at the crib if they were just a beginner. So for me, it's like, I still like to kind of stay back to the, I sample, but like, how and where can I take this sample? How can I just rip it apart? Then once I mute the sample, what did I make? And then do I even need the sample anymore? And still kind of diving deep and challenging myself and still reaching out to musicians. Like, man, let's make this way bigger. Let me get this opera singer on it. Like, it's one of those situations. Like, I just don't stop once the beat done. Like, nah.
Like, I remember something Wally told me once. He's like, I've seen him do beats in an hour. I've seen beats he's been working on for 3 years that he's never, ever finished, right? Like it's just all a certain, like, feel way, you know? So, like, for you, what is the most, like, when you were doing, like, coming up with the idea for doing a beat or for doing a song? Like, for you, what's the most fun part? Are you, like, into doing the drums the most, the chop the most? What does it for you? It's the bass?
The bass. Because I'm doing the drums. I got the sample of the music, the melody going. Then that sub though, when I'm like, all right, bet, now I can put the rumble in it. So I got certain subs that I use already. Then I'm like, maybe I'm experiment, but I got like this big, like club speaker in my house. It's a sub. And it's my studio room is kind of small because I want to feel the music, right? And so I literally get to playing and I'm shaking my house and I'm like some of the light fixtures come out and because it's like, this is what it's gonna sound like in the club. And I'm like pressing the button and it's loud. And it's like, oh, this is what I want you to feel in the car, in the trunk. Like, this is the soul, the bottom. It's gonna, and yeah, that's like the funnest part. Cause I know as soon as I play it for somebody back in the studio, I'm like, yo, I'm tearing shit up. I'm trying to tell you, get your speakers up here. I promise.
Yo, that reminds me though. Crit is here. What is up?
Man, oh man, peep it. I didn't start the sub situation till R4. I think it's Return of Forever. Right. This is me closing the gap on Crit was here, which is 10 year anniversary is next year. So this particular album it's almost like Crit was here. I needed people to see the different dynamics that I could rap. It's a West Coast, East Coast. It's like got some bounce on it. I'm singing on it. Just a whole all around the board. Crit is here is me in that confident space where I know exactly what I'm doing. I know how to execute on an East Coast beat, a West Coast beat. Now my singing, I'm confident more than ever. My production, I'm so confident that I only made one beat on this album.
Really?
Yeah, which is Blue Flame Ballet. And so closing that gap. But don't worry, I have to finish my sub story. It's going to be on whatever happens next in my career. But this particular album is an album on its own. I was not telling the story of Catalactica through Forever's a Mile on Time. Or it's Better This Way. It's not that story. This one is something different. This is where I'm at now.
Now, you is somebody who likes to do a lot of everything.
Yeah.
How hard was it for you to let somebody else do all those beats?
Terrible. it was love, man. I did a lot of fighting with my man, the Dutch, about this, right? So in the beginning, shout out to Rico Love, cause Rico Love and my man, the Dutch, co-executive producer album together.
H-Town.
Yeah, H-Town to be in it. Yeah, you feel me? And so what happened, Rico Love challenged me on stage at his music conference. It was me, him, and Mace, and he basically told me in front of 500 people he felt like I was doing my supporters a disservice by not making bigger music. He felt like I got comfortable, I'm in a comfort zone, and that I need to work with other artists, because he saw me with the Kendricks and Coles, and he felt like, man, you belong there. We just waiting on you. And so from that point, I got in the studio, and I worked with Rico, Endanger, DJ Camper, Wallace Lane. I got in with Tay Beast, Wolf the Michaels, brand new artist, and a producer. He produced three records on my album. He's featured on two. Music Major, Khalil produced on the album. And when I got in with all these producers, they were playing me shit I would have never made for myself. And some of it was way doper than anything I ever done for myself. Endanger, like, his drum patterns and shit is, like, ridiculous. I'm like, man, oh, this is why, like, everybody's in the studio working so much.
Right.
And so it became like a challenge, but it became fun. Don Corleone produced Addiction, which is my new single, Lil Wayne, featuring Lil Wayne and Sweetie. But, I'm like, man, this is amazing. Like, all the pressure was off of me to have to produce the beat, and I could just write. And if nobody liked the verses, I had more time to write more verses. I wasn't fatigued. And so at some point, it's like, man, I woke up and I was like, man, I got 80 songs. And we broke those down to 50, and we listened to those over again, me and my team. 50, we got to 18. Then we got from 18 to 15. It was like, these are the ones that represent me now.
Yeah, it's a liberating thing. Like, it's funny with this podcast. I say this for people who listen to it who don't quite know, like, what a producer does on this podcast. Yeah. My man Gabe does this podcast. And I have never turned over more control on a project that I've ever done than I have on this one. Cause I was like you, like I used to do everything.
You finna edit
it? Yeah, I did everything I possibly could, man. Just about every idea on this show that is like outside of me talking is from the producer. And it's no coincidence that this is maybe the best thing that I have ever done, right? Because I got somebody else's ideas, even stuff I'm like, I don't know if that's going to work, but I trust you. We're going to try it. And then, you know, and then it winds up working out. Like, once you so used to, like, cause I think you probably like me, like, I know what I want it to look like.
Yeah.
And you're limited because you don't realize that what you want it to look like could actually be better because somebody else just might throw this one thing in there that you hadn't thought about.
Damn, bro, you blew my mind. And I didn't know you feeling that way too.
Yeah,
okay,
man. No, I'm telling you, like, I watch this stuff as it goes here. I'm like, yeah, I know what's going on here. Like, yeah, like, I know what this is, but that's I imagine, and you tell me if I'm wrong here, that kind of carries over into like other things you do besides the music, realizing that other people got things to contribute that can make what you're doing better.
Yes. No, that's exactly what happened. And it was crazy because I think the will to go hard, you had an idea and maybe people didn't believe in it, right? So what you did was like, all right, I'm going to show you. And that's the competitive spirit, and it's great. And you turn their negativity or their doubts into fuel and put it in that vehicle of an idea, and you drive off like you actually make it.
Right.
But then you get around people that they had ideas and they took that doubt and they put it in their vehicle and drove off too. And they're equally as creative or powerful or, as far as ideas or like talented as you, they just did something different.
Right.
And so you can't go in their lane too. I'm like, hey man, I can make this so much easier for you. if you just press this button right here.
Exactly.
Be like, hold on. So I've been doing this the entire time. I could just press this button. Like, yeah, I want to tell you, but you kind of seem like you didn't want to know. Like, and so now I'm in that space where, nah, man, tell me, is there a button that I could press to just make this a whole lot easier for myself?
Well, I guess for lack of a better term, you kind of got to humble yourself a little bit, right?
I mean, you got to, but it's hard to find the humility once you make it, and you made it because you created your own rules. And so it's like, but you're going to stumble, you're going to fall, you're going to realize you could have did it easier. Somebody's going to walk up to you later on and be like, man, I saw what happened. I wish you would have let me play on your album because that bass line, I could have did better. And I'm like, well, play. And I'm like, damn, you really could have killed that. You know what I'm saying? And so you're like, you know what, next time I'm going to reach out to you. And next time you do, and people hear it, and they're like, damn, bro, I don't know what happened, but your bass line's colder now. Yes.
Yeah, you know, and the thing is, in the end, the people don't care if you did it all yourself.
Nah, they
people
don't
care if you brought them heat.
That's
right? And if you, if they're like, if you hear it, even if you cite who did whatever it was, they just care that you brought them heat. They're like, yo, thank you for calling whoever it was to bring us this heat.
I did 12 for 12 and I found that out the hard way. I did 12 for 12 and then my album came out and people love Forever's in My Long Time. Don't get it wrong. But then I'd be in the gym and like people are like, man, you know what we at the gym, man, you know what we playing, man? At 12 for 12, man, that get us going. I'm like, that was the freestyles, you know what I'm saying? I was like, but people wanted to hear me over other people's beats and they wanted to still have that bounce. But my intellect, the way I carry cadences, what I talk about, they wanted to hear that as well. And so I was like, oh snap, like I just be myself. The beats can change. Like I might not make them. The producer and me just going to have to take a backseat. You get mad sometimes like, damn, bro, my beat's jamming too. But I look at the response that we get now or how energy hit or crit here and what that is. I'm like, man, I would have never made that for myself.
Right.
But the response is amazing. So we here.
Dude, you sound like you're really enjoying yourself
I ain't going to front. This is crazy. I ain't going to front. Like, man, I'm sitting here with you right now and I think to myself once again, independent, the timing of everything, and to be able to have this conversation, I'm glad it's this album, straight up.
Yeah, man. But it's good, you know. Like this industry beats people down all the time, right? Yeah. It can be exhausting for you. So, like for you to find a place where you're doing this and you really you seem to really just be enjoying yourself and feel happy about where you are. Mm-hmm.
This is great. I'm having conversations with my friends. Like everywhere. I mean, I chopped it up with you. I hollered at Sway yesterday. Like, man, we just talking. It's like literally a family reunion now when I move around. But it's the most positive aspect for me because I'm not like going in there and they're not asking me questions where it's like, man, so how you feel about the numbers? You think it's gonna, ain't nothing. It's like, man, you feel good today. Like, you okay? Like, we great. Like, we kicking it. It's love, man.
Right. Let me tell you what's really catching me right now. That watch.
Oh yeah.
You know why?
What you got? Wait,
it's catching me because I got to say what? Like, imagine that when we first came across each other.
We had those.
We have nothing like this. All right. Like, this is absurd. This would never happen.
No, we had
those. Circumstance.
And I'm still.
Hold on. Not only would we not have them, I don't even think we wanted them.
No, we didn't want them back then. Well, we didn't want them because if we got them, it would wreck everything.
Yes.
It'd be like, all right, now I can't buy nothing else for myself for a little while. I deliberately, when I first met you, I had wood, like the chains, there was the wooden beads.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? I mean, I ain't gonna buy it until I know I can completely afford it.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not just gonna do that cause they want me to have it cause I'm a rapper. It's like, nah, if I buy this, then I'm gonna starve next week.
And that was like right after you moved to Atlanta, right?
That was right after I moved to Atlanta. I had moved to Atlanta like a few times and got evicted.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Yeah, but when I met you, I was established in Atlanta.
Okay,
I was good.
You were legitimately there.
I was okay.
There.
I was there now. I wasn't living in my house that I'm living in now. I actually was staying with Big Son. Shout out to my partner P.O. who was a rapper too. Like they had a crib, and my homie Jermaine, and they let me like have a room and make beats in.
Yeah. By the way, son, I checked out that track and it was jamming. Yeah, I've been hitting him back for the longest.
Definitely.
About that, and I just got busy.
Yeah. The two player, the retro South one.
Yeah.
And then shout out to the homie Red Coat because they a group now.
We'll be back in a minute with more from Big Crit, but first, hiring is challenging. But there's one place you can go where hiring is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses connect to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BOMANI. ZipRecruiter.com/Bomani. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Well, let me ask you this, man, because I got a new hobby I'm into now. Uh-oh. I'm on the vinyl kick now.
Oh.
I went and got a 1200, and okay. I'm now like on the vinyl. Are you in? I mean, I imagine that the vinyl game is your move.
I love vinyl. I love the crackle. I love the sound of it. I don't get to, and the crazy thing is I haven't made a beat in months, so I don't really get to listen as much as I used to.
Mm-hmm.
But normally if I'm playing vinyl, like I'm searching, I'm digging in the crate.
Right.
But one of my biggest dreams is to go to Japan. Like, I know they have a huge vinyl.
Oh, the import game.
Oh, my God. I just want to have me a little turntable and sit down and just run through all those one single Japanese soul albums that mm-hmm. I've never heard before and, like, just freak out.
You might honestly messed up and just, like, booked a vacation. Like, I'm trying to figure out where to go on these trips. You might have just booked one for me right there. Because I notice a lot of times when you go digging, you get the joints with all the Japanese writing on it. And it's like, oh, okay, these are the import joints.
Yeah, bro. So there's a documentary called Digging in the Crates. And shout out to DJ Boo, cause he's a person that put me on to like this whole documentary. And literally people were in there in the basement of this vinyl record store, sitting down and with their headphones on and just digging in the crates like for days. And I'm like, man, I can't imagine, like, my whole day is free. And I'm just gonna sit down here and listen to soul.
Well, it's hard to explain to people, too, how that analog, like, the sound really just jumps out in a different way get it there.
They were different. I mean, even understanding that the drum patterns normally were in the left headphone and then mm-hmm. the musicality was in the right, and cause stereo wasn't a thing for real.
Right.
So they had the panning was different. Mm-hmm. But I don't know, the warmth. I mean, the texture in the music. And sometimes you lose that with the digital age, and like going straight into, computers, but people like Raphael Sadiq still understand, right? So he still records somehow through computer, but through tape. So when you hear Raphael Sadiq record and the kick and the snare, that's why Soul Food sounds totally different than every song on Catalactica, because it's still tape warmth.
Right.
So it's knocking, it's hitting it, and it's like, man, back then, that's why the music felt that way, because it had body to it, and it's hard to get that sometimes through computers.
Yeah, that last D'Angelo record, I think he did it all on
definitely,
Jewish
definitely. And you got it's hard to even find an engineer that even knows how to work that. Like, that's not an easy thing. And if you mess up, you got to start over.
Right?
It's like, nah, bro. You really can't couldn't aid that. It was like the beginning thing where I realized, like, no, this tape thing, this is terrible. It takes time. And then my partner, Shout Out to Money Black, was the first person that was really recording me. It's my engineer. Shout out to my engineer now, Michael, which is at Engineered by Wolf. Shout out to Jason Joshua for mixing the album. But it's like, man, like, couldn't tape? Nah, bro. Trying to fly a hook. That's why if you go look back and listen to the old school stuff, the hooks normally were different. Sometimes it's like, man, I just do it again. just wait till the verse over, do it again. You know what I'm saying? Straight up.
So where do you want to go from here with this?
Man, I want to start scoring movies. I would love to start scoring movies, at least creating soundtracks. That idea would be great. Again, Multi is a multimedia company. So I'm trying to find like the next Temptations. You're right. I want to find the next super soul singing, you know, female artist. But I think the next one is going to be Baby Rose. Like, she's amazing. She's actually on the album. She sounds like a sample to the maximum. Like, it's just crazy. So yeah, but just putting artists out, man, creatives, and building this brand and this company in a way where I can sit back and I can just give somebody an opportunity.
Right. Now, who's out here in the game that's not with your company that's got you like, oh, okay, I like what they're doing right now?
Jid is ridiculous.
Really?
Jid is ridiculous. He's crazy. Obviously, Rhapsody is a monster. I'm excited for her album to come out, right? Damani is ridiculous. T.I.'s son.
Okay.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, T.I. Yes.
Is that his older son?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's snapping. And I couldn't imagine, like, my dad being this legendary great rapper, and then I gotta like figure out and find my place. But it's just dope that I think the homie really found his place, like where he wants to go musically. Shout out to the homie, the baby, man. He been killing it. You know
yeah,
I
was in North Carolina a couple weekends ago, and that, yeah. You can't escape him.
He killing it. Yellow Beezy is going crazy right now, man. I mean, but it's a lot of youth out here that's really doing that thing, and they understand marketing a little different, branding themselves, and it seems as if they get their business together, right? But, I mean, only thing I would tell all of them, man, be very aware of the money you're spending now, right? Because sometimes it does slow down at some point. And then you really want to make sure you got your finances in order, that your taxes are together.
Pay your taxes.
Please pay your taxes.
Anybody that's ever been a freelancer of any sort, we all had one run with them. I know I had my run with them. Everybody had their one run with them. They might not come get you today.
But they'll come get you. Yo, and when they hit you, I'm like, oh my God. So get you an account. Make sure you're taking care of your money and these opportunities because it comes really fast. And Lord, when everything slow down and you still got that house, you still got that car, you still paying on all that stuff, man, them bills are coming.
Yes. And by the way, when they come get you, answer the call.
Yeah, like, just like, talk to them.
They're real cool when you talk to them. They're surprisingly cool when you talk to them. They don't get an attitude until you don't hit them back.
You ghost them and then like, they're not knocking at your door.
Yeah.
We need all this.
Exactly. Right now. I will put in my request though. Gotta get you to do some of that as a pack.
Man,
that's my dude right now.
I would love to and I reached out, but it's weird every time that I'm really working on my album, he's working on his album too. Mm-hmm. And I understand what that's like when you're like, man, I'm focused on mine right now. Right. Like, I got you. But man,
that's my dude.
Yeah, he's ridiculous.
I'm like, why, how are you good at all of this?
Yeah, he's ridiculous. And the drumming thing is just phenomenal.
You get a chance to check this tour?
No, I didn't. I mean, I was on the rock.
That's right. No, the drumming.
Him and Flying Lotus, right?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I saw it was him, Earl Sweatshirt, and somebody else was on this last run. But no, it's all of that, right? Like the drumming, there's the whole nine.
Bruh.
I'm like, yeah, this is.
Yeah, it makes me wish I would have played another instrument in high school.
What'd you play in high school?
I played the tuba, the sousaphone. Yeah, and it's hard.
So that explains your bass part. Mm,
there you go. It's hard, but it's hard to bring that out on stage, you know? Like, the Roots are the only people I know got a sousaphone out there, but I'm trying to figure out how I can fit that into my show.
I tell you this, you come out there rapping with a tuba ball and you're the greatest of all time. That happens.
I ain't gonna look crazy.
The thing is, you're not even that tuba weight class. Like, I feel like if I walked in to play the tuba, they'd be like, how you feel about the trumpet?
I was skinny when I had the sousaphone wrapped around me, cuz. Don't worry. I still know what I'm doing. I'm way bigger now, so I believe I can take care of it.
Yeah, let's ask you one last thing, because we're coming on time. All but right. I'm just curious about this. Like, you left Mississippi, I guess, about 10 years ago, give or take.
Yeah.
What's it like for you now going back?
It's just home. Like, I as soon as I cross that state line, man, I'm Justin Scott. Off the rip, right? And then people, you know, that know me from years and the positivity is there. I'm the same person I was, you know what I'm saying, when I got out of school. Like, it's fam. I ride around just real cool. Like, I kick it with my parents, my homies. We have drinks and we chill. And that's it. Like, it's not even so much. I realize, too, that when I come home, people need me to talk and chop it up and kind of give them knowledge of what I've learned. It's not so much about doing a show, making music, or being on the radio. It's like, man, let me tell you, if you got a dream, bro, you got to leave and then bring all your ideas back.
Mm. And it's got to be a recharge. There's something to be said for going somewhere where don't nobody care about this other stuff. Like, you spend so much of your life wanting people to care about this stuff that you crave people who don't.
It's great. It's just great going home. Like, I hit that road 4.5 hours. I get to listen to all the newest music, and then I go home. I talk to my parents. I literally kick it, and then I come back, and I'm ready for the world again.
And I bet they glad this actually worked out, boy, because I imagine they was nervous at first.
Yeah, but I'm finna take care of all of them after this one. This one is, I tell everybody, I didn't go platinum my first album, and everything had to go back into my business and invest, but it's bigger than me. This is for my family, and so what I'm gonna do is once the tour and all that, I'm gonna go do a lot of repairing and fixing in my city, and I'm gonna do what I can for my parents. That's what this is about.
Hey, man, that's Big Crit. Check out Crit is here, available right now. Man, this is so much fun.
Man,
it is hard to get me to come up here this early in the morning. Look, man. It's hard to get you to come somewhere this early.
Well, you see our dog, these shades here? I am hiding my eyes, bro.
Thank you so much for coming in. I appreciate it. And ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for joining us here on The Right Time. We do this thing a couple times a week. My man Gabe Bassane handles everything behind the scenes. Thank you, sir. Thank you to our sponsor, ZipRecruiter. B, Be sure to check out the Woj podcast this week. It chats with Rockets coach Mike D'Antoni about the Westbrook trade. Remember, check us out wherever you get your podcast. Rate us, review us, give us 5 stars. You only give us 4 stars. I'm inclined to think you are a hater, and we'll talk to you in a couple of days. I'll be telling them. Take it easy.
Thanks for checking out The Right Time with Bomani Jones podcast.
You can listen or subscribe on the ESPN app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
The Right Time
with Bomani Jones.
The Right Time with Bomani Jones is presented by Goodyear. Discover the possibilities. Goodyear, more driven.